previously on But You're Wrong.
I'm Batman.
No, you wish you were Bruce Wayne. You don't wish you were Batman. No. No.
Just Batman wandering around Wayne Manor going, Rachel, where is it? Make me my coffee. Where's the remote? Where is it?
Where's the toe soccer?
He comes over, I make him like salad sandwich.
That's a terrible impression. That's terrible. So this is But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I am Greg DiNicola.
And we'll get the formalities out of the way first. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong, Twitter, BYW Podcast. You can check out my books, Work in Progress and Not My Problem, on Amazon. And if you like us, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. Did I leave anything out?
No, sounds good.
All right. And if you like Greg, call him about some broadband service. Give him a little ringy-dingy.
Oh, no, I will not answer. You know what I have been getting calls about? Actually, I don't know what call is about, but I've been getting calls from a correctional facility, and I have not answered it either time. I don't know anyone that's in jail right now. I even went to my parents, and I'm like, hey, anyone in our family currently in jail? Because, you know, there's people off and on that are in jail.
It happens.
It does.
How do you know that's a correctional facility?
Well, because when I got the missed call, and I was just curious who it was, so I called it back, and that's when I got the recording. It's like, if you've received a call from this number, it's because an inmate is trying to contact you. And I'm like, what the f-? All right, so, you know, no one had any info for me. So I just ignored it. I assumed it was a wrong number. And then, like two days ago, I got another call, and I still didn't pick it up because I was at work. But there was a message, and it was like, if you'd like to accept this call, press 1. And then it just kept saying that. I don't recognize the answer or whatever. But it was the same number, and when I called back, I got the same recording.
Huh.
So there's been an inmate that's tried to call me twice now, which, I mean, it could obviously still be the wrong number, but they have tried me twice.
So maybe they want a conjugal visit?
I mean, one would only hope.
What if it's a guy, though?
One would only hope. No, I mean, I have no idea. I'm assuming, if it calls again, if this number comes up again, I'm going to pick it up no matter what, because I'm really interested at this point.
Yeah, is this on your cell phone or your work line?
Cell phone.
Oh. Is it an 845 number?
845. Yeah. No, it's an 800 number.
Because I have a number that keeps calling me. It's an 845 something, 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 something. It's 845, and I looked it up to see, because it called me, I think, 3 times, like once a day, for 3 days in a row. I don't think it actually called today, but it called me 3 times in a row, and I was like, huh, that's weird, and I looked it up, and it's New York State, not the city, but I was like, huh, that's weird. I mean, every once in a while, because I still have a New Jersey number, I'll get calls from, like, other parts of New Jersey or New York. And if I don't recognize the number or I'm not expecting a call from anybody, like, I'll leave it and I'll wait to see if they leave a message.
Right.
Because initially when I got my phone, I got a bunch of calls from, like, a credit agency looking for Mary because Mary wasn't paying her bills. And Mary said, oh, you can call this number to talk about a payment plan or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
And Mary, they read the number, and it was my number. And I was like, this is not the number at all. There is nobody reachable by Mary at this number.
Mary sounds like a real bitch.
Well, yeah, and they were like, do you know anyone named Mary? And I said, yes, and she doesn't even know this number. And it was like a woman with like a Russian accent. And then she hung up, and I stopped getting calls finally. But now I'm like, what if Mary fucking gave my number to somebody else? And this was like 3 years ago, and I haven't gotten any more calls from Mary, but I'm still always paranoid.
Yeah.
That this bitch named Mary is giving my number out to people. Ow.
She's giving you a number out all over the place. Her and all her stupid friends are giving you a number out.
So I got a call from an 845 number, and I said, well, I'm not going to answer it. I never got a message, and I looked it up online. And I guess this number is like a scam number.
Mm.
And they call up, and it's somebody with a thick accent saying, like, you won something on this number. Like, this number was registered for something, and it won, or...
Oh, yeah, I always win stuff from foreign people.
But what's funny is the one site I was on, I don't remember what it was, it had, like, I was reading through all the comments, and there was one person that was like, ah, this was terrible. Like, there's somebody with a foreign accent, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, and something about winning money on this line, because they were entered some contest, and I never entered a contest on this number. And then a few posts later, somebody was like, psh, you stupid Americans. Everybody has a foreign accent. You guys have a way worse foreign accent than the rest of the world. You just think it's weird. And, like, they went into this whole dissertation about, like, accents and weird, how we think it's weird, but everybody else is normal and not everybody speaks English. And I'm like, you're on a site for, like, phone scams. And this guy just said, oh, it was a foreign accent. I couldn't understand it. And you're going to go off on them? Like, who the fuck are you?
So what? So the guy basically took offense to the idea that the guy's like, oh, they have an accent?
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares? I love people that take shit personally. Especially like that. I mean, come on.
Like, yeah, who gives a shit that the guy had, like, an accent and you had trouble understanding? Like, it's not I don't believe the post said, unless they were responding to a post prior to what I actually read, but I don't think they were. But unless the guy wasn't like, God damn it, why don't these fuckers learn English? He was just like, he had a weird accent, I couldn't understand him. He wasn't like, God damn it, why don't these fucking foreigners learn American? This is stupid.
I mean, if you were in another part of the world and you got a phone call and the phone call was someone with an American accent, wouldn't you think it was a little weird?
Yeah, and if they were trying to speak your native language?
Exactly. Like, you're in Germany, someone calls you with an American accent and they're speaking German.
Oh, yeah.
You'd probably be like, huh, it's a little weird. And you'd probably make note of it when you told someone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they'd be like, oh, I got this call from this weird guy with a weird accent speaking broken German or, you know, broken Japanese. I'm sure it happens. Like, it's nothing personal.
But it's personal now.
Yeah. Now you made it personal. I mean, I don't care when I call customer service and it's some guy with, you know, who's clearly in India. And he's like, hello, my name is Steve. And you're like, your name is totally not Steve. But okay, what do you have for me?
Yeah, I don't care as long as he helps me.
Yeah.
Now when I get these, when I get sent over to India and the guy can't understand me, and they end up having to send me someplace else, at that point I'm like, ugh, get the fuck out of here. Like, just send me to someone that understands English. But if the guy helps me out and there's no big language problem, what the hell do I care?
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as he can understand what I'm saying and I can understand what he's saying and we have enough communication skills, I don't care if he has an accent at all. I don't give a shit. But I care when there's a certain point when I get routed to India and it's like, we can't communicate. And I'm like, no, I tried that. And he's like, oh, it's not working for you? No, it's not. I tried it. It doesn't work. What else can I try? And he goes, so it's not working for you? Correct.
No, it is not.
Okay, well, give me a moment and I will help you in this way. And I hate that. Like, I've called a few places and that is part of the script for some reason. And they're like, yes, okay, and I will help you in this way. And I'm like, stop saying that. You are not helping me right now. It's a very tense situation. I'm trying to be nice, but just stop saying that you understand that it will not work, and you will help me in this way, because that is not helping me at all. Like, that's the other problem. Like, everybody has to follow a script for some reason, and I'm like, all right.
Yes, I already tried to restart the computer. No, it didn't work.
Yeah, and I'm just like, all right. I was on the phone, and this time I was actually routed to America, but I was at a call center because I was having problems with TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
And I had had problems with TiVo in the past, and I was like, all right, so let me go through everything that they had me do before this time to see if any of it works.
Yeah.
I tried all that, nothing worked. So I was like, all right, well, let me call and see if there's anything else. And it was less than a year old, so I was like, all right, it has to be under warranty. So I call up, and he goes, all right, well, we're going to go through troubleshooting it. And he goes, first, I want you to unplug the device. And I go, all right, hang on. I had problems with you guys like a year ago, or a year and a half ago. And we went through everything, and nothing worked, so I had to get a new one, etc., etc. I tried all that stuff now, so is there, like, advanced stuff we can skip to, or we can figure out what my options are? And he goes, well, I can't talk to you about any of that stuff until we... unless you troubleshoot with me. All right, so what do you want me to do? And he goes, I want you to unplug the device, wait 15 seconds, and then plug it back in. I did none of that. I waited 20 seconds, and then he goes, okay, what is it doing now? Well, it's stuck in the startup screen. Oh. And because I had tried that. I had tried that before. It wasn't like I was trying to get something free. Like, I had tried that several times before, and none of it worked. And finally, he was like, all right, well, let's see. Warranties for 6 months, so you can get a replacement for a year. Or you can get a replacement for $50. And I was like, wait a minute, the warranty only lasts a year? Well, yeah, you know, sometimes electronics go down. And I was like, yeah, but every other electronic I've ever purchased has had a warranty long, at least a year, not 6 months.
Right.
Well, you know, and I go, no. I don't know, because every warranty I've ever had on an electronic device last year. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I've had computers go down. Sometimes that happens. You're not helping me here.
You're just really avoiding my question.
I was like, so my options are I can spend $50 and get a refurbished device, or I can just go to somebody else. Yes. Okay. And this is the second device I've had with you guys that has failed within a year, so I'm going to go with somebody else. Are you sure you want to do that? Yes. I went through this whole thing, and I was like, all right, you know what? You're right. I am under a contract for 4 months, but I'm going to hang on to that contract for the last 4 months, and then I will cancel. But in the meantime, I'm going to get Comcast in here and get their DVR service, so you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And then I got off, and the best part is I logged onto my TiVo account online, and they keep a record that you can look at of your, like, call-ins to technical support. And underneath that call, it just says, case closed.
Yeah, sure it is.
So I waited a few months, and then, like, I called in again. I got a different guy, and I was like, I want to cancel my service. Okay, why do you want to cancel your service? Because your device stopped working. You guys were assholes, and I switched to something else. Oh, okay. Well, let me pull up your account here. Okay, well, I see here that we offered you another device for $50. Yes, I think it's ridiculous that it didn't last a year and I have to pay $50. I just want to cancel it today. Okay, well,
Let me get you over to our retention people.
Yeah. Well, he goes, okay, well, we could offer you a free month while you try to figure out your options. No, I have figured out my options. I've been using Comcast DVR for the last 4 months. So can you just cancel it? Oh, okay, well, I guess we can do that. Give me one moment. And he comes back and he goes, okay, so we've – and he goes through all my options again. He's like, we've offered you a free or, you know, a free month. We've offered you another DVR at the reduced price of $50. And I'm like, that's not really a reduced price, jackass. Like, it didn't even last a year. Come on. And he's like, well, we've done all this stuff, and you're still not satisfied, so you want to cancel it? Yes, I want to cancel it. Okay, well, all right, well, let me go ahead and put this in. Give me one moment. And it takes, like, another 5 minutes for him to put in a cancel order. I don't know why.
Ugh.
I'm just like, and I've worked in customer service before, and I'm like, it should not be this difficult to cancel service.
The problem is that it's just, unfortunately, like, what you're describing is, like, becoming the rule and not the exception. Like, you just, no one ever helps you when you call these places. It's ridiculous. I mean, I think the most helpful that I've ever had anyone be was probably when I had trouble with my Xbox and I called up Microsoft. And they were like, oh, and they, like, apologize, like, up and down. And they're like, hey, listen, we'll, you know, we're going to send you a shipping label. And do you want us to send you a box? We'll send you a box to put it in. And you know, we'll get it right back to you. And then they sent me a thing. It was, like, for, like, 3 free months of Xbox Live. And they're like, we're really sorry. We hope this didn't, you know, deter you from using Xbox or anything. And I was like, you know what? Thank you. Like, I was without my, you know, because of it, I was without my Xbox for, like, 3 months. Not 3 months, 3 weeks. But you know what? Fine. You know, just don't be a dick. You know, I'm not asking for much. Just fix it.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, like, I try because – and I think both – for both of us, I think because we've worked in customer service positions before – and had to deal with the angry customer. We really try not to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really try not to be that guy. I really try not to lose my cool on people. So I can appreciate, like, good customer service. And I've had some before. Like, and a lot of people badmouth Comcast. And I really only had one bad Comcast experience, and I somewhere somebody screwed up a couple things. And for the most part, Comcast has been very, very nice. Like, when I came out here to Pennsylvania and I had to get new service wired in, the guy was like, listen, do you guys mind if I take a little while longer? Like, the service tech that came out was like, your wiring's kind of old. What I'd like to do, and it's no cost to you, is put in basically a new box, rewire it to the two rooms that you want, so the other wiring that you have in the other rooms won't work, but it'll be better wiring, so you'll get a better picture and quality and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
So he actually took the time to, like, assess the situation, rewire it, all that stuff. And I was like, you know what, that's good. And, like, all the other times, like, Comcast has been fairly good to me, except for that one time. But I mean, obviously, a couple mistakes were made, and it is what it is. But they weren't really mean about it, too, because the woman was like, at first, the woman was like, "Oh, well, you don't have that service, like, that's not working." And then I was like, I argued with her a little bit, but I was very nice. Again, I was very nice because I didn't want to be that guy that just yelled at her.
Because you know what it's like.
Yeah, like, it's because I know what I would yell at her about is not her fault.
Exactly. But especially when they're trying to help you fix it, that's all I need. That's all I want. Just mm-hmm. just try. I mean, obviously I want them to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm looking for a little bit of effort here.
And just recently, like, I went home this past weekend to New Jersey. And we upgraded my mom from the Motorola Razr.
So she was still using that?
Yes, she was still using the Razr. She was she was rocking the shit out of it. She was still taking pictures and sending text messages, and she had her grandkids as her background picture, and she was loving it. But it reached the point after, I don't know, how long has that phone been around? Like 10 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's gotta.
I'd say about 10.
It's gotta be like 10 years, almost. So after like a decade, finally, when she started opening it, it would always open up to the screen. It would sometimes open to a blank screen.
Yeah. Give like, me credit for lasting that long.
Yeah. So she wanted a new phone, and she wanted something that was a little bit newer, that could do like better pictures, maybe do video. Because she had like other devices to do that, but nothing that she really liked that much. And she was like, it'd be nice if like I could just have, if I didn't have to carry around so much. And I was like, well, why don't we look at the iPhone? And we didn't get her the new iPhone, the iPhone 5, because that she doesn't need all that. But the 4S with the better camera, which is what she wants, was down to like $100.
Right.
So I said, well, let's get you that. And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to be home, I'll get it. I'll get it with you. I can show you how to use it. Because chances are, whoever you go to probably isn't going to show you how to use it. Which they didn't, but I don't know if it's because I was there. Because I was like, I don't want to... I used to sell cell phones, so I don't want to be like stepping in on the salesperson's territory. Because I know that would piss them off. But I want to make sure my parents are covered and the right questions are asked. So I kind of took like a weird in between like mediator role in the whole thing.
Yeah. I've definitely done that for my parents before with stuff.
Because it's like I don't want them to get fucked over, and I want to make sure everything's covered. But I don't want to like step on the salesperson's toes, because I've been in that position before. So we've been going over it, and we got it taken care of and got her upgraded. And where the story is going is my parents were on a old texting plan from like obviously 10 years ago. And those plans have changed, and they don't work with the new phones. So when we got home, I was showing my mom how to text, and it wasn't working. So I had to call into customer service and go, oh, well, this isn't working. The woman I talked to, super nice. So nice, so helpful. The person in the store made a mistake that the plan that they had didn't work with the new phone, explained everything. We had to make a change to the plan. But the woman I talked to, super nice. Real nice experience. I'd give her a 10 out of 10. High ranking, and be like, she was so helpful, so nice. And she was like, let me, you know what, I'm really sorry about this, I'm gonna send you another free text message, because she sent me one to test out to make sure it was right. She goes, I'm gonna send you another one, it's gonna be a link to a guide that will help you out, show you the other features of the phone you just got, explain a little bit more. And I was like, that's great, like, she went above beyond, helped out a little bit. So many places don't do that anymore, and I feel like that's so important.
It's true. That's, you got a rare, rare experience there. No, because with the people I work with on a regular basis, and of course you know, because you work there, but yeah. Just seeing the average effort that gets put into customer service, and it fucking sucks.
Too many people want to just pass the buck and pass on responsibility. And I'm like, I just want you to give it a try. Like, if you can't do it, if it has to go to somebody else or something, or you, it's not possible, just tell me that. Just, you know, see what you can do. Like, don't be a dick about it.
Humor me. Pretend that you're gonna try.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's been a bunch of times where I've gotten good customer service, and there's a decent chance that somebody has gone off and said, well, we can't do that, what you want. I tried, but it's not working. And even if that's true, you know what? It gave me peace of mind that you pretended to try. It's probably something you legitimately can't do, but you pretended that it was, so I appreciate that. You know, I like, after being in that position, and you do the people get rated.
Oh, yeah.
On, and they go, well, you know, there's a brief survey. If you could take that, I'd really appreciate it. Do you ever take that survey?
I have. I'll say typically I don't.
I will in two cases. If somebody gives me great customer service and I feel like they're actually addressing my problem and trying to actually help me, I will take that survey and say that they did a great job.
Yeah.
Especially if they come back and they go, let me put you on hold 1 second. And they come back and they go, Keith, are you still there? you took the time to actually either remember my name or you took that second to look at your screen and call me by name.
Yeah.
Because so many places don't do that, and they go, are you there? Are you there? They don't even say sir or ma'am. They're just like,
no.
Are you there?
Yes, yes, this is God. What do you want, Margaret?
Margaret.
I understand you're bleeding. Can I help you with that?
Or if it's just terrible. If it's terrible customer service, I will answer that survey. Because I'm like, you just did not help me at all. You are just terrible. If you're in between, I won't bother.
Yeah, that's the thing. Average, if you think about it, it's like that with almost anything as far as making comments or like rating shit. Because think about like when you go on Yelp, right, and look up a restaurant that you've been to and that you like. There's two kinds of ratings typically. There's extremely good and extremely bad. Mm-hmm. And usually, even if it's a really good restaurant, there'll be more bad ones than good ones because people are just more apt to complain. Because people just want to bitch. So, like, when they go out and they have a bad experience, and, you know, I do it too. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. But, like, you have a bad experience, you run home and you go online. You're like, this fucking sucked. The waitress was a cunt, blah, 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 and all this good stuff. And you're much less apt to do that if you have a good experience. But if you had an average experience, you're definitely not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to push you towards it, so why bother?
Exactly. It's crazy. And, like, I always take that into account when I, like, look up for ratings of shit. Like, you look up, oh, I'm going to stay in this hotel. You're always going to see the most angry people on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you're going to see the highest praise. So I try to – yeah, you kind of got to take a balance. I'm trying to be better about if I am mediocre about something, especially something small, like somebody who's trying to put something out there. I try to be, you know, somewhat mediocre about it and be a little bit more positive and be like, well, it wasn't fantastic. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, so let me take the time to give it, like, a 3. Because it earns a 3 out of 5. It's in the middle. It's probably worth your time, but it's not, you know, it's not a piece of shit like everybody else says.
Right, right. I mean, it's just, well, like, the example of, like, a hotel or something. If you go to a hotel and it's just, you know, you go to a Holiday Inn and it's clean, nothing special, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's just exactly what you needed. It was a place for a night. And, you know, checkout was fairly easy and all that good stuff. You're not going to go nuts. You're not going to be like, oh, man, it was fucking great. Just, you know, you did what it needed to do, and that's great. But you're not going to, like, go rave to your friends.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, hey, if you need a place to stay, go check out this place. Like, it's I feel like between working in customer service and then actually, like, putting myself out there and creating content, like the podcast and things like that, like, I'm taking a different view and being like, not necessarily on hotels, but like other things that people are putting out there, I'm like, all right, I probably shouldn't be a complete douche and just be like, this fucking sucked. Like, it's not for me. I was watching, I started to watch the first episode of the Mindy Project, some new Fox show.
Mindy Project?
Yeah, it's done by the girl, the Indian girl that was on The Office.
Okay.
And, like, it wasn't bad. It wasn't badly, it wasn't poorly put together. It just, it wasn't for me. Like, I wasn't its target audience.
Right.
So if I were to say, write a review about that, or, like, I felt the need to take the time to start reviewing shows, like, even though I don't, but, like, I wouldn't, I wouldn't say it was terrible because I never laughed once. I'd be like, well, you know what? It wasn't for me, but like the storyline seemed decently constructed based on the pilot. I mean, I'm just based on the pilot alone, which is always kind of a bad thing to go on, but like it was decently constructed. It was well shot. Like all the actors seemed professional. They were believable characters to a certain point, but it wasn't for me.
Right. I mean, So I think a lot of people just lose that.
Yeah, people just base things off like they rate it based on too much on their taste and not like criteria that everybody could relate to. So I mean, like our show isn't for everybody.
Oh no, like, definitely not.
It's like your dad listened to it, and you had your dad listen to a specific episode that was somewhat tame.
Yeah, there wasn't too much. Yeah, exactly.
I had my mom listen to. I never told my mom specifically what episodes to listen to. She was like, "Oh, I want to check it out," and I was like, "Well, I would say listen to this one and this one." And I would like there are certain ones where I go, "Don't listen to this. If you listen to this one, don't listen to the last 5 minutes. If you listen to episode 25, skip the first 10 minutes where we talk about a silver dildo. Like, don't."
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm like
forgot about that.
I'm like skip these parts. I was like, yeah, there's little rough patches in there. You don't have to listen if you don't want to. Like, you're not our target demographic. Like, I'm not going for the old broads section. You and your friends would not like this.
If you read Steel novels, you probably shouldn't listen to our podcast.
Well, maybe you should, actually. Or only to the dirty parts.
Oh, yeah, some of that raunchy shit. I love giving my mom crap. Like, she always used to, she'd be like, "Oh, Greg, you should read more." I do read. I was like, you read fucking, basically you read porno for middle-aged women. That's what you read. And you think that you're, like, morally above me because I read books about sports? Out of your fucking mind? I don't know. It's like, sometimes it's like erotic shit.
Does your mom read 50 Shades?
No, not that I know of. I hope not.
Do you know what 50 Shades is about?
Yeah, it's about, isn't it like fucking dominating sex and masochism and stuff like that?
Yeah, okay, all right. I just want to make sure that you know, in case your mom does start reading it, that you can be disturbed by it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of women out there that are getting in on that.
What's your mom's address? I'm going to send her a copy.
You're not getting my mother's address. Shouldn't you already have that?
No, we meet at a hotel.
You meet at the Holiday Inn with the clean sheets.
Yes.
For a little while.
It was given a 5 on it was given a 5 out of 5 on hotelfancy.com.
Hotelfancy. Actually, when I was in Italy, I think the Holiday Inn we stayed in was actually the best hotel there was.
Probably. Actually,
I'll say this. It was the most American of all the hotels. It was definitely my favorite. And then I found $20.
I like how you realize your jokes are going nowhere and you're like, oh shit, I found $20. All right, cool. Yeah, so I went to my parents for the weekend because I was going to go in October and my brother had to have a kid. I don't know what that's about.
Ugh, they're the worst.
But they're having their second kid in October and they live out in Seattle now. And my mom is not a fan of flying. She used to, and then she stopped for a long time, and now it, like, freaks her out.
Really?
But she finally decided that for this, she needs to get over her fear of... Well, it's not even the fear of flying. It's just, like, just a...
She just doesn't like it?
Well, yeah, it's not like... Like, she's not afraid that the plane is gonna crash. Like, she's more just afraid about being closed in the plane, and not being able to go anywhere for, like, 6 hours.
Yeah, you know, my father actually, I mean, he's flown a million places, but I was talking to him not that long ago about, like, flying someplace, and he's like, you know what, I don't enjoy flying anymore. I just would rather not do it. He's like, I just don't like it. He's like, and I'm not afraid, it's just something I don't like doing.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, all right. I mean, I still enjoy it, you know.
I don't enjoy flying.
Really, I do like it, as long as it's not a long trip. Once I hit, like, the 3-hour mark, I'm like, all right, get me the fuck off this plane.
I mean, I'll do it. I'll fly, but it's not something I like to do. So, most of the time, my pre-flight ritual is I find my gate after I go through security and strip searches and cavity searches and all that.
Which you enjoy.
Yes. That is why I always shove something magnetic up my ass.
Magnetic?
Just to make sure that everything goes off and then they have to do the search. No, I don't do that. Anyway, I find my gate, and then I find the closest bar restaurant by my gate. I get some food. I have a few beers. I know it's a little expensive, but whatever. Get a couple beers, and then I usually try to time it so that I'm at my gate right about when they should be boarding. Because I'm not one of like the first people to board, usually. Because it's always people in wheelchairs. No. Gold Star members? No. You know, or it's like Platinum Star members, no. Gold Star members, no. Silver Star members, no. And it's everybody else, so I'm with them.
Dickheads in the back?
Yeah.
Key's like, yes!
Guys that didn't want to get our bonus credit card miles, I'm like, that's me. I just need a couple. I don't need to.
I'm just a regular guy. Can I get in my tiny little seat and eat my tiny little food?
They don't even give you food anymore.
Yeah, you get something very... Yeah, you don't get much.
Yeah. So I try to time so that I go to the gate. They call my boarding section. I board. I find my seat. I try to go by the window. So I find my seat. I get in there. I curl up. I go to sleep before takeoff. And then I wake up sometime during landing.
Huh.
And then I'm there. So I'm good. Like, it's all right, cool.
I have a real bitch of a time falling asleep on the plane.
That's why I have a couple beers before I go.
Yeah.
It just relaxes me a little bit. I just chill out. I mean, I got like a magazine and my iPod and everything prepped in case I wake up before landing. But I mean, any time that I can fall asleep before takeoff and wake up during landing, fantastic.
Yeah, that's probably the most preferable situation I can think of.
That's great.
I wish I could do it, but
you can't.
No, I can't. I don't know. I mean, I really don't mind the whole experience. It's just, like I said, as long as it's under a few hours. I mean, once you start like going out like towards the West Coast, hitting like 5 hours, it's like, ugh. Now, I've never been all the way to the West Coast, but I've been to Nevada and like.
But haven't you flown to like Italy before?
Yeah. And that's just a nightmare. It sucks. I mean, it's like 8.5 hours. The way back's even longer because you're going against the jet stream.
Yeah.
See, like every other time I've really flown, I've always gone like from here west. So the way back is always a little bit quicker because you're on the jet stream. And that makes it nice. But with Italy, it was quicker on the way there. And on the way back, it took like 9.5 hours, and I wanted to fucking kill someone.
Now, when you were on the plane, did they give you like the little bottles of wine with your meal? Did you get a meal?
Oh, yes. And on Alitalia, we definitely got a pretty decent meal, and the wine was unlimited.
Oh.
So, so you either just white or red. So, like, they come around first before they serve any food. You know, you can get whatever you want, but also white or red. Then they bring the food. Then they come around again with the wine, white or red again. And then after that, after everyone's done, you can get a third glass. It's fantastic. As much as you want.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the best things about flying on an Italian airline.
I think I might have to do that soon. Just for the drinks.
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, nothing like... Yeah, it made it much more bearable being kind of buzzed.
I mean, not that I'm a big advocate of drinking, but it does make things a lot easier.
Yeah, it does. Like, especially when your flight's going to be that long.
Well, yeah, I mean, any flight, when you're in such cramped spaces with just people, like, I don't mind being in groups necessarily sometimes, but, like, it's just an assortment of people, and you're just, and you watch them board, and you're like, that guy's a total dickhead, like, that guy's an asshole. The way, like, this guy folds his suit jacket and makes sure that it's laid perfectly on his, like, leather overnight bag. And then somebody else comes in and is like, oh, I can fit my bag right here. And then the guy has to get up again to adjust his jacket to make sure it's just laying just right. Because if he gets a crease in it, he's dead. And you're like, who the fuck are you? Like, what is your job that is so fucking important that you make sure that your suit jacket is okay? Like, what the fuck is your job? Because I don't recognize you, so you're clearly not, like, a Hollywood celebrity. Because I know all of them. Like, you're yeah, obviously not a guy that's important. So, you know, just relax a little bit, you know? Just
Well, you're probably not that important, because otherwise you'd be sitting in first class, probably.
That's true, too.
You know, it's funny, the way you describe, like, how being, you know, having drinks makes it easier to deal with the people being confined in a small area for a long period of time. You know what makes me think of? Like family parties or like Christmas or something when you're stuck with all your relatives. Yeah. And I just think about like going to a party, like a Christmas Eve party. I love Christmas Eve, but sometimes you just got to deal with these fucking relatives that you just don't like. And the best thing that you can do is bring booze.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be the easiest way to get through it.
And it's like, everybody, the problem is everybody means well. It's just, for some reason, like, it's just so difficult to deal with and get along with. Like, it's, you need a little of that lubricant in there to grease the wheel so that you can have a conversation about something.
Trust me, I know. It's a necessary evil, and I wouldn't necessarily call it evil, but it's necessary.
It's a necessary godsend, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
It's a gift from Jesus, all right? That's all I'm saying. How the hell did we get to this?
I have no idea. I don't even know what we started talking about.
We're talking about this, and then flying, and then... Oh, so, okay, so... I visited my parents this past weekend because they're flying to visit my brother later on because my mom is a little uncertain about flying, but now she's flying. She's
right.
Now's the chance to take advantage of it. So, and then there's other stuff going. She's not going for another, like, 3 weeks, but there's something planned for this coming up weekend and the weekend that this episode should come out. And then, like, the following weekend, they're going to be someplace else. And, like, this was the only time that we could. So I said, all right, well, we'll go up. And we ended up getting her the new iPhone, which she loves. And she has the iPad, so it's not like it's a huge learning curve for her. Like, she can figure it out, and she loves it. But while I was there, I took advantage of my parents and started to my process of stealing their vinyl collection.
Very smart on your behalf.
Yes. I think, and I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I know I mentioned it to you. A couple weeks ago, my fiance's mother said that she was interested in selling her collection and her probably a record player and then her collection. She had a box and whatever, and she hadn't touched in a while, and she was looking to get rid of it. And I said, well, what do you want for the box? She gave me a figure, and I was like, that's really low. Like, I would feel bad paying that amount of money. Like, I was being a real asshole, like, on Pawn Stars or something like that, where I was like, you know, this original hat of Lincoln's, I paid $20 for it. I think I can get $400,000 for it. Like, I'm like, all right, like, I'm not going to sell them, but, like, I would still feel like an asshole for paying, like, that much for them based on what right. I saw. Like, they were still in pretty good condition. A couple of them, you know, like, the sleeve wasn't in the best condition, but I mean, it was still pretty good. I was like, all right, well, I went back and I was like, you know, she said you wanted this amount for it. And she goes, yeah. I go, well, let me give you this amount. And I feel like that's probably closer to what they're worth. Then I took the box and it was probably like twice the amount of vinyls that I already had. And then I mentioned this to my parents and my parents were like, oh, well, you know, if you ever want any of the ones that we have, like, just let us know. And I was like, I'd probably take all of them, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I'm not entirely sure what you have. I looked through them before. And I know, like, my dad has Johnny Cash albums, like, a bunch of them, and, like, old Beach Boys albums and a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, I would probably take just about all of it, but I would definitely want some of these. And they were like, oh, well, you know, you can take a look next time you come up. So I went up, I took a look, and I was like, yeah, I'll take pretty much all of these, like, definitely.
Yeah.
So I took a selection of them because I didn't have a lot of room to... Essentially, within the last, like, month, I've, like, tripled my record collection. And I got some good stuff, too. I'm pretty happy. And I found a lot of good stuff in that box and other stuff from my parents. Like, Ray Charles Live and, like, Creedence Live in Europe, which I've never seen before, that my dad had. And I was like, no way, you have this? And my dad was like, yes way, I had that.
Wow. Yeah, I'm extremely jealous. I have not... I've not picked up nearly as many vinyl recently as I would have liked. My collection's still fairly small, but pretty good quality. I just not a ton yet.
The thing is, you have to when you go for this level of when you go for volume, you have to sacrifice a little bit of quality, because as I think I tweeted, I have what was it? It was Fabian.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
Song was like, was it... "Hold the Tiger" or something like that.
Catch that tiger or something.
Yeah. And it's not good. I looked it up on Billboard. And it never charted, ever. And I was talking to my mom about it, and she's like, "Oh, did you take this one?" And I was like, "No, but I definitely took Fabian, you know, Catch the Tiger, which I'm sure is a quadruple platinum album."
Oh,
I don't think she found it as funny as I did. But
you have you put it on yet?
No, I haven't.
You really should.
I may hold that one as special until you come out and visit.
All right, that might not be a bad idea.
I think I might hold on to that one. They're like, well, we don't really listen to them anymore. Like, we haven't listened to any of these albums in years. And that, my friend, is the way that you get these people. And by these people, I mean people that are still holding on to their vinyls years later.
Older people who don't use their belongings.
Is that you go, oh, that's really cool. I would love to have that. And then they're going to say something like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we've had this for so long. We don't really listen to it. It's been years since I've listened to it. I haven't heard that one in a while. You say this to them. You go, oh, man, I would put that on tonight if I had it. These would go to good use if I had them. Chances are they will cut you a deal or they will just give them to you.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing this with my uncle, actually.
Try that out. If he knows you, like, you're not going to sell them.
Right. No, I'm keeping them.
Yeah, like, you're going to put them to good use. So chances are, if he's a music fan, he would do that. And then the other thing, the way that I got my parents is, like, I was like, well, any of the ones that you kind of want, like, I can hook them up to my computer. I can convert them to a CD if you want.
I've got all this technology here.
Yeah.
Yet, I still prefer to listen to them in their most crude form.
Exactly. I was like, well, I have this machine, okay? And it'll take me to the future. And in the future, they have technology that I can convert them to CDs. And I'll give you a CD and I'll bring it back. And they're like, all right, cool. But
that sounds complicated. Yes, go ahead and do it.
They were kind of like, okay, maybe. And my dad's not a big technology guy. Like, he kind of is, but he's always like, I want to think about this.
Yeah.
So the first day I was there, my dad was like, ah, no, you can take these, whatever. And then later on, the next day, my dad was like, so are you taking the Mickey Flynn albums? And I was like, I wasn't going to this time, but I can take them later. And he goes, well, no, I was just going to say if you, you know, if you wanted to take them and if you could put them on a CD, that'd be good. And I was like, all right, I'll take them with me now. I have no idea who Mickey Finn is.
I've heard the name. I don't know who he is, though.
I guess Mickey Finn. I keep wanting to say Mickey Flynn, but Mickey Finn. They were from like a dive bar, like a honky tonk or something like that. And Mickey Finn was actually the name of like the person who played like the fiddle or the violin in the group. It was actually a girl. I have not listened to it yet. But my parents had like 5 albums of them. I'm very excited to listen to them, but it was just like my dad being like, you know, if you want to take the Mickey Finn.
All right, well, it looks like it's also like, you know how people refer to a date rape drug as a Mickey?
Okay.
That is known as a Mickey Finn. I didn't know that. The musical artist is an English musician known for psych folk and glam rock and was active 1969 through 2003.
Wow. So wait a minute. So a Mickey is a Mickey Flynn, huh?
Finn.
Mickey Finn. Why do I keep saying that? Mickey Finn.
Because you're stupid.
I had no idea. So my parents, like a band that a date rape drug was named for.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ooh, this is going to make the next family reunion awkward.
And, yeah, he was also in his band Tyrannosaurus Rex. He was a sideman on the 1960s Haps, Shash, and Colored Coat.
And he also played in Murph and the Magic Tones?
No. He worked as a session musician for the Blow Monkeys and the Soup Dragons.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This guy sounds like a real piece of garbage.
So now I really want to hear about Mickey Finn, because it sounded like an Irish mobster name. Like, I feel like it's like somebody that they should talk about in the town. And like, yeah, John Hamm should be like, all right, what do you know about Mickey Finn? Huh? Is he the one robbing the banks? And she's like, I don't know nothing, I swear, I don't know no Mickey Finn.
What the hell kind of an accent was that?
That was terrible, I know. which one was worse, the first one or the second one?
The second one was worse.
The second one was bad. I was trying to be Blake Lively doing a bad accent of an Irish, because her accent in that movie is terrible, but
it's not good. No.
So see, actually, I nailed what I was going for.
All right.
I just didn't beat up Blake Lively, which I'm surprisingly okay with.
You might have been going. You might have got what you were going for, but that just does not mean it was good.
It was good for what I was going for.
All right, I'll accept.
Because I have to. I still think I would have done better than her in Green Lantern. So that's all I'm saying.
playing the female role.
Have you seen the movie?
I actually haven't.
I have. I could do better than her.
Yeah, I want to see it because I've heard nothing but bad things, except from my roommate who likes it, but he's a very big Green Lantern fan, so I think he's a little bit biased.
What's sad is I wouldn't even have to shave my goatee in order to do better than her.
Well, normally she's pretty attractive, but...
Well, yeah, it's...
No, I know.
I think the... I don't know if it was SNL coming back on their first episode back, or it was something else, or maybe it was The Soup. But there was a joke that they were like, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds got married over the weekend. It's nice knowing that this won't be the worst thing that they've done together. And then it shows a picture from Green Lantern.
Wow.
And I'm like, That's sad but true.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's in my house. It's on Blu-ray in my living room. So I could watch it.
Get out right now. Save yourself. The call is coming from inside your house. Get out.
So needless to say, I've heard plenty of reasons why I shouldn't watch it yet, and therefore I haven't.
There's just so much more they could have done with it, and they didn't. And I think Ryan Reynolds could have been okay if the script was better and they weren't like, hey, let's just make this fun and cool and not really tell a story.
Don't you think Ryan Reynolds should have been the Flash if he was going to be any superhero?
Yeah, he would have been better suited for the Flash.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have casted him as either, but he would have been a better Flash.
Or I think he would have worked as a young Green Arrow. And
okay.
I think he potentially could have pulled off then the transformation into the older Green Arrow. So like if he was like Green Arrow being the rich kid on a yacht or something like that that got shipwrecked, blown up or whatever, depending on what origin story you read, and he gets washed up on this island and then he learns to survive and he goes through this transformation, I think he could have the talent to pull off a transformation into a more serious character and then actually played like Green Arrow. I don't know if he necessarily would have had the facial hair to pull it off, but I don't think anybody really has the facial hair to pull off Green Arrow. the way that thing just juts out. But I think he would have probably been like a better pick for, yeah, like that or Green Arrow maybe than Green Lantern.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
But did you ever see the movie Buried?
Buried. No. Buried? That didn't have anything to do with the Brazilian soccer team, did it?
No. Buried.
Oh, that was Alive. Never mind.
Buried is a really cool movie that's based on like people in kind of Afghanistan and stuff being kidnapped.
Okay.
But what happens is Ryan Reynolds is working over there and he is kidnapped and then he's buried alive. And all he really has is like a cell phone, a lighter, and that's pretty much it. But he's trying to find a way out. But it all takes place. It's solely Ryan Reynolds on screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's other voices in it, people that he talks to on the cell phone.
Yeah.
But that is it. It is just him in a coffin buried alive.
How long is this movie?
I think it's like an hour and a half.
Holy shit.
It honestly, though, it doesn't feel that long. He's pretty good in it. I get a little tired of him partway through.
Yeah.
Towards the end, and then it picks up a little bit. But I'd say probably three quarters of the way through, I kind of tire of him a little bit. But at the same time, I'm never bored because of the way that it's shot. I got to give major points to the director, who I don't remember who the director is. Let me look it up.
So how much of the movie, of the hour and a half movie, is he in the coffin?
The whole movie. It starts with him waking up in the coffin being buried alive.
Holy shit. That just sounds like a crazy idea for a movie.
It is directed by Rodrigo Cortez, and the writer is Chris Sparling. It's definitely worth a watch. The only reason I watched it is because people were like, this is really amazing, the fact that they were able to do a movie so contained, because it doesn't, you're never like, oh my god, just move on from the set. Actually, you know what, it's on Netflix Instant.
Okay. I'm gonna have to check that out then.
Yeah, it's definitely worth at least one watch. It's Ryan Reynolds, his performance isn't what stands out from it. It's the fact that they were able to shoot a movie with him in a coffin, and it's just really well, like, the script is really well done. Ryan Reynolds isn't actually the highlight in the movie, even though he's the only person in the movie. But yeah, definitely check that out. Buried. It came out a couple years ago, I think. Yeah, a couple years ago.
I will check that out.
It's worth at least one watch. One watch and you'll get everything you need.
Thank you.
So what were we talking about before this, though? Before we went off on Ryan Reynolds. I was talking about the town, Mickey Finn. Yeah, Mickey Finn. Yeah. Because he does sound like an Irish mobster, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. You go, yeah, well, you know, what happened to Mickey Finn? Oh, you know, Mickey Finn swims with the fishes. That's what it sounds like.
Mickey Finn sleeps with the cabbage.
Mickey Finn rests with the potatoes.
Exactly.
All right. Did we accomplish anything?
I don't know. What did we? I don't think so.
Let's do a little wrap up. Let's see. If you have to deal with customer service, try to be nice.
Yeah, there's no need to be a dick.
If you get good customer service, take that survey. Let them know that they did a good job.
Yeah.
Because a lot of jobs are actually rated partially on your reviews.
Ugh, God, don't I know it.
So, I mean, if they do a good job, review it. Take that survey. Take the extra 5 seconds. Let's see. If you want to get vinyl from old people, just tell them it'll go to a good home.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was not a good Green Lantern. He was good in the movie Buried. And the movie Buried is on Netflix Instant and should definitely be watched. Not for Ryan Reynolds, but for other reasons. I can't do a good Blake Lively impression of Blake Lively doing a Boston accent. And did we learn anything else?
I don't know. I think everything I learned from you today.
It's like that old anti-drug commercial. I learned it from you, Dad.
I forgot about those. You don't see as many anti-drug commercials anymore. I think they gave up.
Now is the time when they need that anti-drug commercial where they're like, I learned it from you, Dad. Because now is when they would actually learn it from Dad.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, think about the number of people in our generation that you know that are smoking pot. Let's just say pot alone.
Yeah, and think how about, many of them learned it or learned that from their dad?
Yeah, are then going to pass it on to their kids, probably.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, you know what? You're right.
So, I mean, it's a powerful message. Either quit it so you don't pass it on to your kids, or just hide it better.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't – don't set your kids up to be – you know, like, obviously, there's a lot of things worse than pot, but – don't set your kids up to do it.
Yeah. No, I guess we'll end that then. So I really don't know if we accomplished anything.
I don't know.
Ah, well. Whatever.
We'll ease into the whole into that, you know?
We're easing into our 30s. Give us a break.
Yeah.
30 is the new 15, so
it's the new high water mark.
Yeah, 30 we didn't even commemorate with anything.
Yeah, that's fine. I hope when I get to my 30th birthday, I also don't celebrate it.
We'll be like those women that just go, no, I'm still 29. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I've been 29 for 5 fucking years.
Yeah, I'm 29. You have like 5 grandchildren from one kid, all right?
I'm going to commemorate my 30th birthday by hanging myself.
You're walking around with a colostomy bag. You're clearly not 30.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
Purse spills out. There's just disposable catheters everywhere.
Colostomy bags and catheters are funny.
Always. Until you have to use them.
That's true. I think I would still think they're funny. I would find a way to make them funny.
Mm, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe if we're still recording by then, I'll find a way to make them funny.
This is Greg and this is Keith. We're both sitting here using catheters.
May your colostomy bag never overflow. Good night, everybody. Sometime between now and then, I took up smoking, so that's why I talk like that in the future.
Make sure you got plenty of palm walls.
Yeah, the world will probably end before then, so.
God willing.
Well, that's been Bud You're Wrong. I'm Keith.
I'm Greg.
And we have nothing good to sign off with from this episode. So good night, everybody.
Night.
Or good morning, whenever you listen to this. Have a good day at work. We'll see you later.